The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of heaven, of God, ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. This past Friday, I had the opportunity to go on an outing with the Safe Harbor Board of Directors down to the Gettysburg battlefield. We spent about 5 hours moving around to different locations on the battlefield, working our way through the 3 days of fighting and talking about the leadership traits that were modeled by the Union and Confederate commanders as they made difficult decisions, often without a lot of solid information. Our tour guide for the day was a Marine Colonel, Army War College professor, Top Gun pilot, and licensed battlefield guide named Doug. To say Doug knew his stuff would be a bit of an understatement. And he not only knew his stuff, he was an exceptionally enthusiastic and engaging teacher. Every once in a while, Doug would ask the group a trick question. "Now, if you were General Lee in this position on the first day of the battle with the Union Army to your southeast, where would you send your cavalry?" Folks got serious looks on their faces as they pondered this tactical question. Where would I send my cavalry? The gotcha here is that General Lee's cavalry wasn't in Gettysburg on the first day of fighting, and Doug had indeed told us that bit of history earlier. He was trying to see if we were paying attention. Now, like Doug's, trick questions can be about serious matters, but there are also some silly ones out there. You've probably heard a few of them, like the one that asks, "Which is heavier, a pound of bricks or a pound of feathers?" Well, this one, neither. They both weigh a pound. Or if this one, if you only have one match and enter a dark room containing an oil lamp, some kindling wood, and a newspaper, what should you light first? The match, you're with it this morning. You may have noticed that there are a few trick questions in today's gospel reading from Matthew. And to understand why the Jewish leaders, the chief priests and elders, and Jesus are trying to lure each other into a trap, we need to orient ourselves to where we are in Jesus' ministry, because a lot has happened since last Sunday. Last Sunday, you might remember, we heard the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Jesus offers this parable at the end of an extended period of teaching and conversation about a variety of topics, such as how many times we are to forgive someone, how to resolve conflict, who Jesus is, and what he has come to do. And there have been a few miracles and healings along the way as well. Now, because today's gospel includes another parable about a vineyard, you might think that we picked up right where we left off last week with Jesus on a roll about grape harvesting for some reason. But we've actually skipped 40-something verses. And those skipped verses describe some critical moments in Jesus' ministry. First, as Jesus continues heading toward the city of Jerusalem, he foretells his death and resurrection for the third and final time. Then Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey to the cheers of a large crowd shouting Hosanna and throwing cloaks and branches on the road before him. And no, you are not crazy. That is, in fact, the story of Palm Sunday, which we heard way back in early April. Recall that we end up reading the Gospels a bit out of order as we make our way through the church year. After entering Jerusalem triumphantly and throwing the whole city into turmoil, as the Gospel of Matthew puts it, Jesus heads right for the temple. There he cleans house, driving out all who were selling and buying in the temple and overturning the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. The chief priests and scribes see all of this and Jesus' healings of the blind and lame who come to him in the temple, and they become angry. Matthew reports a little exchange between the religious leaders and Jesus, a few snippy words back and forth, and afterwards Jesus leaves to spend the night in Bethany. In the morning, Jesus returns to the temple, and that's where our gospel for today begins. I think it makes a difference for us to understand what has come just before. Because so often we turn the Jewish religious leaders of Jesus' day into caricatures, rigid, small-minded, evil bureaucrats who are more concerned with the letter of the law than with people. But it's not quite that simple. Jesus is dangerous. He has people all riled up. At this point in his ministry, Jesus is directly challenging the people in charge, breaking all the rules, threatening the peace, disrupting sacred places. He has taken over the temple, and he's thumbing his nose at the authorities. And so, As often happens in these situations, the powers that be come to confront the rabble-rouser. The chief priests and elders try to trip Jesus up, asking him their trick questions. They're hoping Jesus will say something that gets him into so much trouble, nobody will be able to object if they arrest him. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus knows a trap when he hears one. So he promises to answer the questions of the chief priests and elders only if they answer his question. It too is a trick question about the baptism of John. As they debate among themselves, Matthew tells us, the chief priests and elders realize they are stuck. Either possible answer to Jesus' question will get them into trouble with somebody. So they say the only safe thing to say, we do not know. Jesus is now seemingly off the hook. The chief priests and elders didn't answer his question, so he doesn't have to answer theirs. But Jesus isn't done messing with them. What do you think? He asks about a man with two sons, how one said he wouldn't go to work in the vineyard but did, how the other said he would but didn't. Which of the two did the will of the Father? But that's another trick question, isn't it? Because neither son really did. One defied his father outright, even though he changed his mind later. The other one talked a good talk, but never bothered to follow through. Which do the will of the Father? Tax collectors and prostitutes? Or chief priests and elders? The gotcha answer to our final trick question of the morning is, of course, none of them. They all fail to do God's will. And yet, in a crazy twist, we hear from Jesus that the tax collectors and prostitutes and chief priests and elders are all going into the kingdom of God. Even if the order in which they enter might be a surprise to everyone. It's not because of what they say and do or don't say and do or say and don't do or don't say and don't do. Tax collectors and prostitutes, chief priests and elders, the riffraff and the holy, all of them and all of us, my brothers and sisters, have a place in God's kingdom, because there was this other son. When he was called upon to go and do, he did, saying yes to the will of his Father again and again, humbling himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of Christ's obedience, we have hope. Because of Christ's obedience, mercy and forgiveness and new life is ours. So rejoice and give thanks. for the beauty and joy of this day, for words of absolution, for our voices lifted together in song and prayer, for the bread and wine of Christ's table, for benediction and blessing, and especially rejoice and give thanks for the privilege and holy calling of being sent back out through those doors into the world once again to work in God's vineyard. Amen.